thank you, Lord Jesus. We invite your presence here tonight. Yes, Lord. Stand. Just tell him how holy he is. Just worship him. We love you, Jesus. Yes. Sing it once more. Give him a hand clap of praise. He's worthy tonight. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I know we just sang this Sunday night, but maybe we could just sing this little chorus since we believe he's here. Amen. He is here. Yeah.
believe he's here.
He is here.
To be in church, feel his presence here. God bless you. We should be able to sing about heaven's jubilee with a little more passion, maybe, after just the beginning of the service, God coming down and blessing us. It's so good to have his presence here. Amen. This is 244 in your hymn book.
Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air. This evening.
that now I almost see all the sainted dead. They're rising for that jubilee that is just ahead. And in the twinkling of an eye, change with them to be. All the living saints fly to that jubilee. Then oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, oh, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. One more time. Amen and amen. Good to be in church again together tonight to worship the Lord. Amen. If this is any indication, I believe you came to worship Him tonight. Amen, amen. Good to have the Rivas family with us. And if I understand correctly, is this a bunch of more Borlavans over here on the left side as well? Amen. Good to have all of you with us. Couldn't you convince Brother Sam to come on down, Brother Luke, and be with them? Amen. Good to have all of you with us tonight, all of our visitors, and amen, some from Colorado and all over tonight, so praise the Lord. But amen, good to be in service, and God's good to us, isn't He? Amen, amen and amen. Well, I guess they're not from Colorado anymore, although our brother does travel back and forth enough. I guess he's still a dual citizen, but amen. We've got a couple of announcements I want to make. Lord willing, Labor Day weekend, we'll be having special services. Brother Jason Watkins will be with us, and we'll be having a Thursday evening youth Bible study here at the church at 7:30. That'll be August the 30th for ages 10 to 30 that's never been married. And then we'll be having a youth service that Friday evening. Everyone's welcome to attend that, but it'll be focused to the youth. And then Brother Jason will be preaching for us Sunday morning and Sunday evening of September the 2nd. So I want to remember those services in prayer and just come expecting and looking forward to what the Lord has for us. And I called Brother Buckles yesterday, and we'd had prayer for him Sunday night, and he said his foot is back to normal, so we want to praise the Lord for that, for coming on the scene for him. And then Sister Christy had gave us an update about Brother Jim. He's out of surgery for his foot, and everything went well, and I believe he's in recovery right now. So I want to just continue to remember him for a complete healing. And also Brother Gabe Bryant requested prayer for a relative of his named Sam, who is paralyzed, and even his lungs are becoming paralyzed, and they believe it's due to a tick bite, and he's only 20 years old and needs the Lord. So we want to remember that situation tonight. And then also, Brother Wes Willis's granddaughter, Addie, she's only 2 years old. She fell and had bleeding around the brain, but after doing scans, the doctors said they believe that the bleeding is actually contained to the protective layers between the skull and the brain, so they were happy to hear that. And they're wanting to do some more scans in a few weeks, but they believe everything will be okay, but we just want to continue to remember her in prayer for a complete healing as well. And then Brother Jimmy Ard went up to Cincinnati to see his dad today and requested we remember him in prayer. Unless the Lord intervenes, they don't think Brother Jimmy's dad will make it through the night. So we want to remember that situation in prayer, and that the Lord will just come on the scene there in a special way. How many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with the uplifted hand? Amen. Brother Buckles, would you come tonight and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
Pray together. Heavenly Father, we bow hearts to You, Lord, giving thanks for Your blessings, giving thanks, Lord, that we have one another. We ask You, Lord Jesus, to bless us this evening, all the requests that's come in, Lord, those that have fallen and have things wrong with them in the hospitals. And Lord, Your arm is not too short that You can't reach and Amen. Touch them. Lord, when you speak, it's got to be that way. All you have to do is just speak the word, and those people will get well right away. Lord, Brother Branham proved that to us. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless each one of them, those that are sick and those that have accidents. You know how to do it. You've done it before, Lord, and you know how to do it again. We just thank you for each other and then for another time of worship and your presence here this evening. Lord, it just gives us a shot in the arm and helps us to love one another and lifts us up, Lord, and helps us to love one another. And when we love one another, we're loving you.
Yes, amen.
Lord, when we bless each other, Lord, we're blessing you. And that's what we want to do, Lord. We want to lift you up. We want to praise your name, Lord. For without you, we can do nothing. But we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Oh, Lamb of God, Lord, we know that you understand all things and see into our heart and know the state of our being and what's in our hearts and what we need. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch every fiber of our flesh and anoint us from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. Oh, precious Lord Jesus,
hallelujah.
We love you tonight, Lord. You first loved us, and we love you. And Lord Jesus, we can't get along without you. Without you, we would fail, Lord, because we were born in death, to death, Lord. We were born in sin, shaped iniquity. And Lord, without you, without your strength and your leadership, Lord, we couldn't do it. But we can do it through you, Lord. You can bring that life back, Lord, and bring us back on this side of the river, that, Lord Jesus, that we might praise and worship you and adore your name. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we feel the life of your Holy Ghost tonight. Move, Lord Jesus, and heal the people in the audience. Heal the people, Lord, everywhere that needs healing. Praise be unto God. Oh, bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Lord Jesus. We thank you and we love you tonight. We just glorify your name, Lord Jesus. Glory to his name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. Lord, heal everyone that's sick, Lord, that needs it. God, you know where they are. You know what it is. We are trusting you. We lean upon you, Lord, for your leadership. Lord, for your love. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Bless the remaining of this service. Lord, bless Brother Nathan, Lord Jesus, and God bless the singers, the musicians. Father, you know all about it, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful, lovely name. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you. You may be seated. At this time, we have a special from Brother Hoover.
Heard a saint testify the other day of a God that was real and would make a way. Story that he told was unbelievable, but so, so true. He told about his child that was gravely ill, how God came down and completely healed. When he got down to the very end, I said, tell it again. Oh, tell it again of this God that's real. Tell it again of his power to would be in jail. He told her how the walls of Jericho fell. He told her how the saints through every age proved God was real. He talked about Moses at the Red Sea, of David and his sling and the victory. The words made my heart burn within. I said, tell it again. Oh, tell it again of this God that's real. Tell it again of his power to heal. Tell how his precious blood has brought such victory. Oh, tell how he changed your heart within. Tell how he freed your soul from sin. It's an old, old story and it has no end. So tell it again. Oh, tell it again of this God that's real. Tell it again of his power to heal. Tell how his precious blood has brought such victory. Oh, tell how he changed your heart within. Tell how he freed your soul from sin. It's an old, old story and it has no end. So tell it again. An old, old story and it has no end. Tell it again.
Amen. Sure appreciate that, Brother Hoover. If the brothers would please come at this time, we'll try to take up this offering. I'm going to try this little chorus this evening, something I haven't done before. It's easy. I think you'll learn it quickly and won't need the words, but I'm going to try to put them up here for the first part. So you help me sing this.
He has made me glad. Yes, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. Yes, he has made me glad. I will once more. Yes, he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. And he has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad.
Amen. We have a reason to rejoice this evening. Let's stand. Let's please stand. Let's sing this as Brother Nathan prepares to come.
He's got it all in control. Every situation, he's got it all in control. Oh, he put that reassurance, put it way down in my soul. He's got it all. Oh, can you sing it this way to him tonight? Oh, that's why I can put my life in his hands. Whatever you're facing tonight, you can put your life in his hands. So every road we walk on, we're sure is in his plan. I put my life in his hands. Oh, let your in the manger of my heart, oh, let it live in me, let it start. Oh, live inside this house of clay and mold it every day. Oh, let your word be born in the manger.
Oh, is that your desire tonight? Why don't you slip up your hand and sing it to him?
Oh, let your word be born in the manger of my heart. Lord, let it live in me, let it start. Oh, live inside this house of clay and mold it every day. Oh, let your
sing it to him again. Jesus, let your word be born in the manger of my heart. Lord, let it live in me. Lord, let it start. Live inside this house of clay and mold it every day. Oh, let your is that your desire tonight?
Amen.
Amen. May he come and live inside of us. Amen. God bless you richly. Turn with me, if you would, tonight to St. John's Gospel. St. John's Gospel, chapter 12. And I think I've got too many heads in front of her to see for sure, but yeah, good to see Sister Astaire back there with us, feeling well enough to be in service tonight. When I introduced the Revises, I thought I saw her back there, but there's so many people in front of want to make sure before I said anything, but amen. Good to have each and every one of you here tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Good to be in his presence. St. John chapter 12 and verse 42. Now, I know I had told you last Wednesday night that I was going to maybe take a break from some of this, and so just to bring your neck pillows, but My wife had joked, she said, you ought to bring that neck pillow that you got that you take on the airplane, just walk out with it Wednesday night. And after I got to studying tonight, I said, well, knowing what I'm going to preach on, I don't think I could do it in sincerity, so I hope you didn't bring your neck pillows tonight. But St. John chapter 12 and verse 42, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Let's bow our heads together tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, oh Lord, as we read this scripture, Lord, may it never be the case in our lives, Father. Lord, that we would care more about what somebody thought than what you thought about, Father. Lord, may it be our desire not to be men pleasers, but to please you, Father. In all that we do, every decision that we make, Lord, may we not be looking to see what some family member or some person around the message would think, but Father, may we look to see if it would be pleasing to you, Father. Lord, as we begin to look into your word tonight, I ask that you'd give me strength and give me courage, and Lord, just give me wisdom, Lord. Give me the words to speak. Lord, maybe there are many sitting here tonight facing situations like we'll talk about, and Lord, I just ask you to give us the courage to stand for the truth. And Lord, I just ask that you'd be with us as we look into the quotes in the scriptures. Lord, we know that they're anointed, but Lord, may you anoint me and may you anoint the hearers, Father, to receive, I pray. Lord, with your Holy Spirit, Father. Lord, we just thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for this presence that we feel here tonight, an atmosphere of worship where you can be welcome in our midst. Lord, we love you and we appreciate you. And we thank you for another opportunity to assemble together to talk about you for a little while. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Jesus speaking here to the Pharisees, and we're still on this thought of spiritual abuse, and he's talking to the Pharisees and telling them certain things, but then the scripture turns around and says that there were even rulers of the synagogue, rulers of the people that believed on Jesus. They couldn't deny the miracles. They could look, and he said, if you don't believe me, believe the works. You know, he said that these works that he was doing, they couldn't have come from the devil. They had to come from God. So he said, if you can't believe me, at least believe the works that I'm doing. And they looked on him, and they would see as they'd go into their synagogues, and maybe, you know, the services had been a little dead, and it was just a routine and a ritual and a going through the motions, and they knew the letter of the law, but they needed the Spirit to come and quicken it. And now here comes a man on the scene that is not just speaking the word as the Pharisees were doing it, but he was actually performing what the word said. And they had to acknowledge that something was taking place when they would see the blinded eyes being opened and the crippled legs walking, and when they would see the deaf ears hearing and the dead being raised and the demon possessed and mentally oppressed and those that had lived wicked lives being set free and going about and living for God. They had to recognize that something was taking place, and so they believed on him in their heart. Yet because they knew it was going to cost them, they backed off and they wouldn't profess him. They wouldn't confess that they believed in Jesus Christ. They believed in their heart. Something down on the inside said, kept telling them, this is right. There's something that's real about this. But they wouldn't confess it because they were afraid that they'd be cast out of the synagogue. Something about it, a social affair or maybe a political agenda or maybe a little bit of a financial help that, well, as long as you go to church with me, you can work with me, or as long as you go to church with me, I'll keep sending you jobs. But you know, if you separate this fellowship, they were afraid because of monetary gain or political gain or because of their social status. They knew what the cost would be if they stayed with Jesus, so they just let it go. because they loved the praises of men more than they loved the praises of God. Now, Brother Branham tells us over and over, he said, spirits don't die, men die. God takes his man off the scene. Satan takes his man off the scene. But yet those spirits are still alive today. So the same spirits that were dealing with the Pharisees, that were dealing with the apostles, that were dealing with these that were kind of borderline believers, that they really deep down they saw something, but they couldn't come right out and confess it because of the cost. Those same spirits are still alive today. The Greek lexicon, this word for when it said they'd be cast out of the synagogue or put out of the synagogue, it's forgive me tonight if I pronounce this wrong, but it's posynagogos. It means to be put out of the synagogue, excluded from sacred assemblies of Israelites, excommunicated. They would be excluded from this. Now, there's something about it. Us as human beings, we don't like change. And when we've done something for years and we're comfortable with that, it's hard for us to step out and accept change because it's a little bit scary. And we're just used to the way things are. And so these people would look and they had their job security. They'd gone maybe to the same church for 50 years. And they knew the high priest, and maybe their children had grown up with his children. And they could look at him. And there was just a comfort level there. But now something begins to come on the scene. And they recognize the move of God. But because they're so scared of this change and what it may cost them, it might cost them a little bit of popularity. It might cost them their position down at their job, or it might cost them some lost friendships, or it may even cause them some family members to walk away and say, look, we can't fellowship with you anymore because the church has excommunicated you. And they loved all of that more than they loved to walk with the true pureness of the Word and of the Spirit. What a sad condition to be in. Spoken word is the original seed, 1962. He said, what is it? Some of you preachers now that's too scared to take your stand, afraid that they won't even let you come into the organization. What else are you going to do then? They kick you out. He said, I feel sorry for you. First thing, for your weakness. That's right. Where's your faith in God? Don't think that that doesn't creep right down into this age and into this message. Preachers scared to stand for their convictions and what they believe, and sometimes even afraid to preach because it's not popular. Not popular, but yet knowing what their commission is, knowing what God called them to do, knowing God calling them to do a certain thing or say a certain thing or preach a certain thing or deal with a certain topic, and yet because of popularity, back off of it and say, well, this is the easier path. I thank God we followed a prophet in this age that didn't take the easy path. He wasn't interested in taking the easy path. In fact, when Danny Henry ran down there at Clifton's cafeteria and he hugged Brother Branham at the end of the service and he began to speak in tongues. Actually, he was speaking in French, but it was unknown to him because he didn't speak French. And he begins to speak forth, and a UN interpreter and a French person standing over there, they begin to interpret, and he said, because you chose the harder way. Because you chose the harder path, there'll be a portion of heaven, a large, great portion of heaven for you in the love divine. Oh, my. I don't want to just take the easy path, but I want to take the path with the Lord's despised view. It's not a popular path, but it's always the way that God's word leads us. It's not a very popular path. You go down through the ages, look into the church ages, and see which path was popular. Was it the path that was paved politically for the Roman Catholic Church? Was that the real, true, predestinated way of God? Or was it that little humble group that didn't have a church to meet in, so they were meeting down and underneath the catacombs and in caves and in houses and being persecuted and burnt and tortured? It wasn't popular. They had to give up something to be able to walk in that way, but yet they looked into the Word of God and they recognized, this is the right way. This is the Word of God, and I'm going to stay with the Word of God. If it loses me family, if it loses me friends, if it loses me my job, if it loses me my life, they were willing to lay down their life for what they believed. And, you know, sometimes we get into a spot and, well, I might lose too many friends on Instagram if I said that, or some of my family members might not understand, or some of my children's play date buddies, you know, they might, their families may not let them get together with us anymore, so we just can't handle the persecution. I wonder how our lives will stand up in beside the martyrs. That it wasn't about play date friends or social events or what school they could send their children to or what kind of job they could have. It was a matter of, will I be fed to the lions and stand for the truth, or will I compromise? The world is again falling apart. 1963 says, preachers, you can't say it because you'll give up your fellowship card. The big council will kick you out if you say something about it. God help a man that would think more of a council card or a fellowship card than he would the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the word. How can the Holy Ghost that wrote the Bible deny what he wrote? So when we see things in the Word and we stand for that, and then people draw a line in the sand and say, hey, you either come with us or you're not one of us. I want to be found standing with the Word. Amen. Amen. You recognize it, and we'll recognize it more as we look into this tonight with the help of the Lord, that it's not, very rarely in the Scriptures, you can look down through history, it wasn't usually God that made an ultimatum and said, hey, you did this or I'm going to cut off fellowship with you. It was always Satan's children that gave out the ultimatums. Hey, you do this or else. It wasn't David standing up there on the hillside saying, hey, bring me out a man to fight, but it was Goliath that was making the ultimatum. It wasn't Brother Branham that stood up there in Portland, Oregon and said, hey, if any of you insane people come up here, I'll show you, I'll prove you. Let me come. I challenge everybody. He was standing up there just as humble could be, but it was the devil's child that came down the aisle and made the challenge. But yet when the challenge was made, the Holy Spirit was there to back up the anointed man of God. Amen. The Holy Ghost doesn't back down to a challenge, but yet it's not usually the Holy Spirit going out and saying, hey, I challenge you, or I challenge this one, I challenge this, I challenge that. You better watch that. You may have an old Pentecostal, hellfire and brimstone spirit on you, but it may not be the Holy Spirit that's anointing you to do those things. A lot of times people like to come out and make a challenge. Bless God, there's nobody can prove me wrong on this. Or bless God, if you don't see this, you're lost. Or bless God, nobody preaches this like I do. Or whatever it would be. You better watch that spirit and trace it down through the history and see where it comes from. Right. St. John chapter 9 verse 18. But the Jews did not believe concerning him. This is after Jesus has gone and he's done something that had never been done in all of history. The Bible said it had never been that a man that was born blind from birth was healed. And now this little boy, his parents, as they brought him into the world, and maybe on the day he was born, they didn't notice anything different about him from any other child. And they took him home and they wrapped him in a blanket and they would talk to him and he would coo and kick his legs. But as he began to get a little bit older, they began to recognize that he didn't respond to some of the visual stimuli that most children would respond to. And he would sit there and they would wave food in front of his face and maybe he could follow it by the smell of it. But he couldn't see it and he didn't respond in the way they would expect, and they would hold little toys and things in his path and he would just sit and stare blankly, and they begin to recognize, oh, something has taken place, something's wrong with our child, and from birth here he is this way. And so they maybe tried the best that they could to help him along his life and to teach him certain things, and here he would go through life in utter darkness, and he would sit there and when other children could go out and play, maybe he couldn't enjoy the things that they enjoyed, and he would go out and interact with them, but he couldn't see the color of their eyes and the color of their clothes, and he couldn't see the beautiful hillsides there in Judea, and couldn't see the flowing waters of the River Jordan and all these things that the other children would tell him about. He could only use his imagination to try to understand what it would look like, and his parents would help him along through life as much as they could to be able to live a normal life as much as he could with this handicap. But then one day comes a man walking down the road that didn't just teach him sign language. Comes a man walking down the road that didn't just teach him how he could get a stay-at-home job and make some money as a blind man, but he comes walking down the road and he gives him sight. Something that had never been done in all of the history of the world. And yet when it comes up, the Jews that are sitting there in the synagogue where this little boy's gone his whole life, they don't believe concerning him that he's received his sight. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? Now they've already heard the testimony of this young man. He came out excited, no doubt. Because for the first time, he can see colors, and he can see light, and he can see he walks into the synagogue and looks around at the ceiling and the arches and the pillars, and he's so excited to testify to these Pharisees, and they don't believe him when he does. Too supernatural. And besides, if it was going to happen, it would have came from our group, not from this Galilean out here. Wouldn't have came from this. Could any good thing come out of Nazareth? It wouldn't have come out of this Galilean. They turned around at Nicodemus when he began to scorn him a little bit for the way they were talking about Jesus. They said, are you a Galilean too? It was a dirty name. They didn't like the Galileans, and they talked bad about him. Not only that, here he was from Nazareth, the worst town of all of Galilee. Wouldn't have came through that guy. It would have came through our high priest, or it would have came through this one or that one. So they don't believe it, and they reach out and call the parents in, and here they come, and they begin to grill them and ask them questions. Is this your son? Yes. Was he born blind? Yes. How then did he receive his sight? And they ask him, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him, he shall speak for himself. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'd had a little boy, whether he was blind or whatever his infirmity was, and all of his life he'd grown up with this disability, and now all of a sudden a man comes walking down the street, and he begins to talk to this young man, and all of a sudden, the darkness that he lived in his entire life, and the things that he couldn't enjoy, that other children could enjoy his entire life, in a moment with Jesus, his whole life was changed. You know, don't put that back 2,000 years ago with a little blind boy. But that's for any person that'll come in contact, not just come in contact with what the prophet said about him or what your pastor said about him or how that your children's books read, you know, you read when you was a child or how your Sunday school teacher told about him or even how your parents would sit you on your knee and tell you about him. That's all wonderful. I thank God for those things. But until you personally meet him yourself, it's just a story that somebody else told you about. Amen. There's some things that you just, somebody telling you about it just doesn't do it. You know, my brother Anthony, we used to tease him because he could go and watch a movie that you'd never seen, and he could tell you in about 6 hours about this two-hour movie, and you know, he could explain it and break it down to you in a way that was longer than the movie actually was, but it still wasn't the same as going and seeing it for yourself. Amen. There's people that can go, you know, brother David, I got a side business as a travel agent, and because of that, he finds good deals all the times on trips, and they've gone places that I've never been, and he could sit and he could explain to me, brother Nathan, oh my, if you had been there at some of these places that I can't even pronounce right, you know, not him saying that, me saying that, he's been to places that I can't even pronounce right, and if he could sit and describe to me the great architecture and the lights and the scenery and the landscape and all that, but it would never be the same as me actually going there and seeing it for myself. Amen. Brother Darrell has been there and seen the empty tomb. My brother and different ones, some of the sisters here and Brother Yarborough, they've gone and seen the empty tomb, but no matter how much they could describe it to me, it could never match the experience of actually going there and stepping foot into that empty tomb yourself and knowing that, hey, it's not just a fable, it's not just something somebody told me, but he's not there. Amen. He is risen. His body's not there. And so for somebody just to tell you about Jesus, that's wonderful. I thank God that we've had men and women that can share testimonies of what God did for them. But don't stop there tonight. You need to have a personal experience with Jesus Christ yourself. Amen. It's not just some fiction of some man that lived 2,000 years ago that somebody has to tell you about some historical book, but he's a person that you can have a personal relationship with tonight. This boy had that kind of an interaction with Jesus. He didn't just have somebody tell him of what some Jesus of some other day had done. He comes in contact with him and it changes his life forever. Now, if I had been one of his parents, I think I would have been running around the synagogue, swinging from the chandeliers, shouting, Jericho marching, clicking my heels, shouting, hollering. They would have kicked me out in about 3 minutes, I'm certain of it, to know what God had did for my son. But here they come and they say, hey, now, we know that this is our son. We can positively identify him. Our eyes don't deceive us. We've known him since the moment of his birth. We know that he was blind his whole life. He wasn't just faking it for all these years. We was there and we knew, and we went through some of the trials that he went through right there with him because of this disability. We know that he was born blind. But as for who it was that healed him, we weren't there. We don't know. We don't really want to get into the details of that because we weren't really an eyewitness, and it would just be speculation and hearsay on our part. So he's of age. Just ask him and he'll speak for you. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, said his parents, he is of age, ask him. It was going to be too much of a burden on them to admit who it was that healed their son. It was going to cost them too much. Yet no doubt they had taken their child to physicians and doctors and all kinds of herbalists and everything they could think of to rub ointments on his eyes and treat him and try to put some type of a glass on his eyes so that he could see. No doubt they had spent money and they had spent time doing everything that they could to try to restore this child's sight. And in a moment, this man does it. Doesn't send him a doctor's bill. Doesn't send him to a pharmacist to buy some drug that was going to cost him $1,000 a month. He just, in a moment, everything changes. But because the cost was too great, they wouldn't testify of who it was that had healed their son. Then Jesus came and called in 1964. Brother Branham, as usual, he gives us a little bit more insight into the scriptures than we would have known without a prophet. He says to even confess him would have been to be put out of the synagogues. And then if you're out from the church, they thought you had no chance for redemption. Ah, so this is more than just a physical building where they would go and assemble. But somebody had taught them, if you're not part of our church, you're out. If you're out from the church, they thought you had no chance for redemption if you didn't belong to one of their sects, like Pharisee, Sadducee, or something. There was no redemption if you was outside of that. And if they had the right, the keys, and they could just kick you out if they wanted, that was their own saying, he says. He's telling us that wasn't the word. That was their own saying. If they had the keys, they could just kick you out if they wanted to. Aren't you thankful tonight that Brother Nathan or Brother Hoover or no brother in the United States or Canada or Mexico or Japan or any place on the earth can take your name out or put your name in, but that God, before the foundation of the world, looked down through time and he saw your name there, and there's nothing that anybody can do to change it. Amen. Doesn't matter if you're unpopular with their group. Doesn't matter if you disagree with their doctrine. Doesn't matter if you don't toe the line the way that you think they should. They can't take the eraser and erase you out because it was wrote in blood. Amen. I don't know what your name was wrote on tonight or what it was wrote with, but I believe my name was wrote in blood. Amen. The name of Jesus Christ, he took the book of redemption and he said, look, I paid the price for Nathan Bryant. Amen. Not just for Nathan Bryant. Read your name in there tonight. I paid the price for all those down through the ages that had their names written on the Lamb's Book of Life. He came to redeem those that were redeemable. Amen. Amen. And he hasn't lost a one, and he won't lose one. Amen. Amen. Doesn't matter what my opinion is of you. Doesn't matter what your opinion is of me. Matters what his opinion is of us. Amen. No wonder, Brother Bram says, no wonder Jesus said, you by your tradition has made the word of God of no effect. See, and now it's repeated again. Because we all know history repeats itself ever so often. And it's sad to say, but it was prophesied to repeat, and it has done it again. Now, Statue of a Perfect Man, 1962, he begins to tell the story about how that there had been a vision that he had about a little lamb that was caught down in Milltown. And so he goes down to Milltown to try to find this little lamb, and he begins to have services down there. And a Methodist preacher gets up and begins to talk bad about Brother Branham. He says, "I was out there that day after I'd preached down there at Milltown where little Georgie Carter was healed. All of you remember it. And there was when Brother Smith, a Methodist preacher, said, 'If anybody is ever baptized, the name of Jesus Christ, get out from under my tent,' like that." You see, it's the devil that gives ultimatums. Amen. You say, you calling that man a devil? No, but it was the devil that anointed that man to say it. Because how could the Holy Ghost kick somebody out that was baptized the way that he told him to be baptized? Amen. He can't say something contrary to his word. "If anybody has ever baptized the name of Jesus Christ, get out from under my tent," like that. Up there at Totten's Ford, holding that meeting up there and condemned me for everything you could think of. I never said a word. Went right on. Now you see how Brother Branham handles this. He doesn't take the next night and he doesn't preach for 45 minutes on Brother Smith and how wrong Brother Smith is and how terrible of a man Brother Smith is and how you're going to hell if you sit under Brother Smith's tent. And he doesn't take it and begin to destroy the man's character. He never says a word about it. He just goes right on doing what God commissioned him to do. He said, "I had a commission. The Lord showed me a vision. There was a lamb down there hooked somewhere in the wilderness." You see, it didn't matter what Mr. Smith or Mr. Smith's congregation thought about it. He had a commission, and whether it was popular under Mr. Smith's tent or not, he wasn't commissioned to come and straighten Mr. Smith out. He was commissioned to come and find a lost lamb. And I'm so glad that he didn't get distracted with all of the goings on around and the whispers and the lies and the false doctrine and the, you know, ultimatums, that he didn't get so distracted with that that it got him distracted away from the thing that God commissioned him to do. Oh, that's what happens to us most of the time. You know, God calls us to do something. He commissions us. He gives us the word to back it up, and he sends us out. And then all of a sudden somebody begins to say, "Oh, did you hear what so-and-so was doing? I don't agree with that." And we say, "Bless God, why would they disagree? Did you hear what they said about me, Brother Hoover? Did you hear what they called my family? You hear what they called my church? You hear what they called my pastor? Bless God, let me roll up my sleeves and go after them a minute." Wait, that's not what God commissioned you to do. What is it? The devil's trying to distract you from your commission with all of the chatter over here and over there and everywhere. Ignore the chatter and do what God commissioned you to do. Praise God. Questions and answers on the Holy Ghost, 1959. "But that day when that Methodist preacher said, 'Anybody that's baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, get out from under my tent,' that was okay. George Wright and them walked out that afternoon. I went down there to baptize in the name of Jesus Christ at Totten's Ford. His whole congregation walked in the water and was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." Now what's he going to do? Now if he says, "Everybody that's been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, get out of my tent," his whole congregation leaves. Brother Branham didn't have to fight him. He didn't have to call and yell at him. He didn't have to sit down with 14 brothers and have a debate with him. He just kept on doing what God commissioned him to do. And God worked it all out. His whole congregation walked in the water and was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So I just went on. That was all right. God be for you, who can be against you? I don't even know where the man went to or what happened to him. He didn't, you know, he didn't do like a lot of us and, you know, watch Facebook and Instagram and keep our hand close to the cell phone so somebody could call and tell us, "Oh yeah, that Brother Smith, you remember he disagreed with you. You ought to see the biggest mess that he got in." "Oh, that's right. I knew he was just an old serpent seed." He said, "I don't even know what happened to him." He didn't keep tabs on him for 40 years. He didn't try to dig into his past and expose him for what he was. He just thought, "That's just a distraction that's distracting me from what God commissioned me to do." Way of a True Prophet, 1962. I don't care what a denomination would say or what any church would say. That's the reason I don't belong to them. They'd kick you out the first thing. But God's word comes first. If you're a messenger, you've got something to say. If you say anything contrary to this word, you're not a messenger from God. You're a messenger of the covenant of some denomination or some theory, but a messenger of God has the word of God. Amen. Let me say this. If you're going to follow a messenger of God, then you got to stay with the word that he brought. Amen. Not somebody's opinion of it, not somebody's theory, not somebody's watered down version of it, but stay with it the way that it was brought. Amen. St. John chapter 16, verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. You realize this man down here running his mouth in his tent about Brother Branham probably thought, he probably didn't think that he was being anointed by the devil. He probably thought that he was really doing something. He thought he saw something in the Word, and bless God, this man disagreed with it, and bless God, he was just going to blast it and didn't realize that he was trying to do something in the name of the Lord that was absolutely contrary to the move of God. It came down to the martyrs, and these men would go out with their religious aspirations and their high ideas and their flowing robes and their big hats and their titles and their churches and their gold and their political power, and they would go out and murder millions of innocent people because they wouldn't convert to their way of doing things and did it in the name of God, thinking they were doing God a service, and fulfilled this scripture that Jesus said they'll actually kill you thinking that they're doing God a service. Now, Brother Bram said history repeats itself, but I'm not looking necessarily for somebody to come with an M16 and plow us all down. But Brother Bram tells us, he said, there's more than one way to kill a man. He said, you can kill his character. You can stab him in the back. You can say things about him. And my, don't think that that's not going on all the time. Many of you have experienced it. Things that people have said about you or done to you or things like that. Why? Thinking that they're doing God a service, trying to belittle you because you don't see it exactly the way they see it and don't recognize the anointing that they're under. Return in Jubilee 1962. They've modernized our assemblies. That's what they've done. And another thing they've done, they've brought immorality to our women. Exactly. Our men, our brothers, put them in denominations and say, if you don't, if we give you out, take your card away from you, your fellowship card, why? You'll never be able to preach nobody else. Because we'll blackmail you and we'll blackball you, and they're afraid. And that makes a chicken out of him. Now, I know any message preacher would get up and flap his wings and say, "Bless God, I'm an eagle." But Brother Branham said, when they come to you and say, "If you don't see it the way we see it, we'll blackmail you and we'll blackball you, and then who are you going to preach to?" And they're afraid. He said, that makes a chicken out of him. And he goes from, oh, a great big eagle, to cluck, 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 cluck. Now, he may not be following a denomination out here. He may not have the name of Baptist or Methodist or Pentecostal, but he might be following a Thunders organization or a Perugia organization or a Two Lords organization or a Return organization or whatever organization it is, and a little group of men get together, and bless God, if you see it our way, we'll invite you to our revivals, and we'll give you the front row in every seat, and we'll put your name in lights, and we'll invite you back to our conventions just as long as you preach it the way that we see it. But now, if you don't see it the way we see it, you can forget next year's convention, and they cow down to it. Cluck, cluck, cluck. Oh my, don't get scared. Brother Branham's going to get a lot worse than I will in a few minutes in these quotes. Hey man, you'll never be able to preach to nobody else because we'll blackmail you and we'll blackball you. Don't you think that there isn't ministers sitting right around this message that would love to fellowship with other people and draw the circle bigger and put their arms around one another? But they know if they do, whatever organization is sponsoring them. We don't have denominations, you know, around the message. We have organizations, or we have doctrinal moves, or we have, certain camps and circles and groups. And whoever it is that's promoting them or sponsoring them, whatever, they know. Now, if I pull away and I don't see this the way they do, and I step over here and have fellowship with my brother, they're going to kick me out of the synagogue because they love the praises of men more than they love the praises of God. Oh my, we'll blackmail you and will blackball you. That even creeps down into sometimes members of churches. You better not leave my church, some of the pastors say, because I know what you told me back there in my office when I was counseling you. I've got some little dirty secrets on you, so you better never leave or I'll blackmail you and blackball you. And any man that would do that is not a servant of God, but a snake in the grass. Holding things over people's head that was told to them in confidence. The Holy Spirit would never do that. A real servant of God would never do that. You never hear Brother Branham get up and say, "Oh my, you should hear what I heard on this private interview today. Oh goodness gracious, I know this brother will never leave my church because I've got too much dirt on him." No, because that would have made him a servant of the devil instead of a servant of Christ. Amen. You see, it's always the devil. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's the one that likes to dig up the old dirt on people. Oh, I know, you know, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, I know about your past. You better be nice to me or I'll dig up that. You know, Jesus never did go back into the sea of forgetfulness and dig nothing up, but the devil sure likes to. Because see, the devil didn't forget it and you didn't forget it, but he forgot it.
Amen.
Amen. He forgot it. And a real true Christian, a real true believer, will be able to forgive. Now, we can't forget like God can, but we can forgive and move forward. And if you don't, and you're still holding on to that past something, bless God, I know what they did to me back here. And it's supposed to be forgiven. And under the blood, you realize that God said that if you don't forgive your brother, then I won't forgive you. But the reason most people won't forgive and move on is because they've convinced everybody else that they're self-righteous and they're holy and they don't have any sins that need to be forgiven. But for those of us that recognize just how much we needed Calvary and just how much we need grace just to survive every day in Laodicea, it's easy for us to say, "Look, brother, I know that was a terrible situation, but the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses men from all sins."
Amen.
Now, it's easy for us to say, "Oh, bless God, Brother Nathan, this is what I struggle with, and I thank God that the blood of Jesus cleansed me from that." But what about somebody else that you think their sin's just a little bit dirtier and grittier than yours? You believe it can forgive that?
Amen.
We water down our sins many times. "Oh, my sin, it's just a little bitty thing over here, just a little bit of pride or just a little bit of bitterness. I'm not near as bad as that guy over there with a cigarette and a six-pack over there. Bless God, I thank God that his blood can cover my little bitty old sins, but this guy over here, I'm not sure about him." Oh, if we could recognize the grace of God the way that we should, we'd realize we don't have to sit and think, let the devil beat us over the head over things that we did in our past, and because of that, we should be able to let people move on in Christ and stop beating them over the head over things they did in their past. "Why, you'll never be able to preach nobody else because we'll blackmail you and we'll blackball you and they're afraid." That makes a chicken out of him. Oh, there's a lot of chicken preachers crept in around the message. Makes a chicken out of him. "Brother, shake loose. Come back. This is Jubilee." He said, "You're an eagle. Don't not let nobody tell you you're a buzzard or a chicken. Excuse me, you're, well, a buzzard too and a vulture," he says. Oh, my. "Yes, sir, you're an eagle. Yes, sir, you don't care for the old dead creeds and denomination. Let's come back. We're eagles. We fly in the heavenlies."
Amen.
Amen. You remember when he told that man there, I think it was the Assemblies of God superintendent or somebody turned around and was making fun of Brother Branham, said, "Oh, Brother Branham telling us we got to drive down the middle of the street." He said, "That's not even good road etiquette." He said, you'll get hit and ran over while driving down the middle of the road. Brother Branham said, when they asked him, said, "Brother Branham, would you like to say something?" He said, "Oh," he said, "some of these brothers are so earthbound, they can't fly up with the eagles and see the heavenly." He said, "What it is this is a one-way street that we're traveling." Many times we get so earthbound that all of our sight is on, "Oh, look what Brother so-and-so did, and look what Brother so-and-so is preaching over here, and look what this church did, and look at this sister that fell, and look at this one that backslid." Stop looking down at the old Icarian and things, the old scavengers of the road that have fallen to the left and fallen to the right, and look up a little higher into the heavenlies once in a while. See what God's got for you. You know, some of that old stuff, you begin to drive down that one-way street and you see those that have fallen off to the left and the right and dead carcasses laying there rotten in a mess. And you think, "Oh, goodness, this is just terrible. Look at this one over here and just rotten and miserable. And this one over here, oh, just a disaster, the mess they got themselves into." And if you keep looking down like that, you'll get depressed and they'll drag you right down into the muck with them. But don't look down there. Keep looking up. Amen. Keep your eyes on Calvary. Perfect strength by perfect weakness. 1961. He said, stay with it if every one of them kicks you out. I don't care how weak you become, then I become strong. When they kick me out, God will take me in. Yeah. God, they kick you out, God will take you in. Remember, it's the off-scourers that God always picks up, the nobodies. Amen. I'm so glad that he found a little nobody like Nathan Bryant. Amen. I wasn't nobody. I still don't claim to be nobody. Somebody say, you think you're something, Brother Nathan? Only by his grace, if I'm anything. Amen. Only what he did for me, not what I did for myself. God always picks up the nobodies. Then he makes them somebodies for him. May not know it in this life, but it will be in the one that's coming. See, that's the one. Again, why little Bethlehem, 1958, he says, today I know we sing great songs, we build great churches, we have great anthems and everything. We praise to him like that. But Jesus said, in your hearts you're far from me, for you teach for doctrines the commandments of men. Let the Holy Spirit come in and do something in their church. Show the presence of Jesus Christ. They'll kick you out the door. He said, in vain do you worship me. In vain do you worship me. Let the Holy Spirit really come down and do something with somebody. Somebody say, oh, Brother Nathan, could I testify what Jesus Christ has did for us? We don't allow none of that around here. Brother Nathan, I'd like to just do something for God. I feel such a burning desire in my heart, to serve God and to do something. Can you send me somewhere? Do something, brother. Send me out here to witness to somebody, or let me go pray for somebody that's sick, or let me do. We don't believe God uses people anymore. We don't need your help. Let the Holy Spirit come in and do something in their church, showing the presence of Jesus Christ. They'll kick you out the door. Now, how is he going to do it? If the Holy Spirit is going to come in and do something in the church today, how is he going to do it? It's a rhetorical question. You don't have to panic. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to answer tonight. But if the Holy Spirit is going to do something, how has God always worked through the church ages? When God did something in the church, did he send down a great angelic choir of 5,000 angels and walk down the aisles and say, we just want to let you know, God's here in the church tonight. And so all of us angels gather down here, and we're going to come up on the platform, and we're going to sing you a wonderful song, and we're just going to bring such a presence, and you'll know that something supernatural happened in the church tonight. Where did it happen in the church ages? Did he send some archangel down and say, excuse me, pastor, bishop, reverend, whatever you are, just step out of the way. I've got something that I'd like to say tonight. Now, I know in all the other ages God has used men, but I'd just like to say that in this age, if something supernatural is going to happen, it's going to be an archangel, or it's going to be a great crowd of an angelic choir come down, or God will maybe send a supernatural dove through the building, and it'll fly around seven times in a good spiritual number, so that you'll know that the presence of God was there in the building tonight. How did God work through all the church ages? If the Holy Spirit was going to do something, he came through humble-hearted men and women who was willing to obey God. Sometimes it was a housewife. Sometimes it was an evangelist. Sometimes it was a prophet. Sometimes it was a church age messenger. Sometimes it was a circuit rider preacher. Sometimes it was in a carpenter in a woodshed witnessing to somebody. But he's always used human instrumentality.
Amen.
And if God's going to do something in the service, it may not always be up here on the platform. I know a lot of times we get just our eyes up here on the platform, and I believe God still works on the platform. But sometimes it'll be somebody that came in that back door tonight, and Satan had beat them down all week and told them they weren't even worthy to come to church. Said, why are you even trying? You ought to just give up. You ought to just quit. And they fought through that, and they prayed, and they sought God, and they said, I'm going to church anyhow. Whether I feel like it or not, whether I'm late or not, whether my boss cusses me out today or not, I'm going to church anyhow. Whether I get fired from my job or whether I get excommunicated from my social circle, I'm going to church anyhow. And they slipped in the back And they was just so hungry for something of God. And the musicians began to play. And Brother Furman stepped up here and turned on the microphone, began to sing. And they said, "That's what I needed, Lord. That's what I need. That's the encouragement that I needed." And the presence of God began to come in the room. What was it? It was humble-hearted individuals. A deep calling to the deep. God working on both ends of the line. I was telling my wife today, I'd never even told her about it, but Brother Kenneth gave me a couple CDs of the Biscoe sisters singing. And I hadn't heard them sing in years and years and years. And I had the chance to meet some of them down there at Brother Tim Pruitt's dedication services a few months ago with Brother Trevor and I. And I was trying to remember what back in Thanksgiving many, many years ago they used to have at Brother Billy Andrews' church. They had Thanksgiving meetings there in Murfreesboro. And me and my brother Anthony would go down for years and years there. And many times Brother Biscoe would be preaching the meetings. And for some reason, this song always stuck out to me. I don't know why, but there was one service. At the end of the service, he called his whole family up on the platform. And they sang this song. And I was trying to get him to remember what song that was that they'd sang, because I don't think I'd ever heard it again. I wanted to hear that song so badly. And they racked their brains, and I racked my brains. And Brother Trevor slept sound that night. And I laid there trying to think of every lyric that I could go through in my mind. I thought, Lord, what was that song? Every song I could think of, every start of every lyric, I would try to think of something. Was it, did it have this word in it, or did it have that word in it? And we went down to the service that morning, and I sit down. I think we were on the front row or near it that service. And a little sister, they call her up. I think she was related to Brother Barry Coffey. I think it was maybe his sister-in-law, but I can't remember. And they call her up to the platform, and she goes up there and she sits down. She picks up a little old guitar. Just a little old lady sitting there, and she begins to strum down, and she says, "Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me." And I was about to shout, because I knew he loved me, Brother Hoover, because of every song she could have picked in the hymn book and out of the hymn book and all around the world, she picked the song that I've been racking my brain for 2 days. And I thought, God works on both ends of the line. Amen. You say, that is so silly and so simple, Brother Nathan. Well, when something like that happens to you, though, and you've been waiting for just a little touch from God somewhere and looking and searching for something, and then all of a sudden out of the clear blue skies, it drops down and there it is on a tape or in a scripture, or somebody gets up and sings about it or testifies about it, or the preacher talks about it, and you say, "Oh, I know that was for me, Lord." What is it? God using humble-hearted people. Amen. What does it do? It brings the presence of Jesus Christ. But when we eliminate all human instrumentality, say, "Brother Hoover, you can't do nothing. We don't need you. Brother Barry, we don't need your saxophone. We don't need you. Brother Buckles, we don't need you anymore." What does it do? It handcuffs the Holy Ghost and puts him in a closet somewhere, because he's wanting to move through individuals. And we say, "No, we don't need you no more. We don't need you, sisters. We don't need you no more. Brothers, we don't need you no more. We don't need you musicians. We don't need you pastors. We don't need you deacons and trustees. We don't need nobody anymore." What do? You handcuff the Holy Ghost. Amen. "In vain do they worship me." They worship, he says, "but in vain do you do it, teaching for doctrine the traditions of men." But there's warriors who believe him. There's warriors who stand by it with a spiritual understanding. Amen. I hope you're a warrior tonight. Amen. Whether it's popular or not, I hope you'll stand by it with spiritual understanding. That day at Calvary, 1960, "Oh, you say they'll kick me out. Let them kick." Have your day at Calvary. God will have his way with you. "Man running from the presence of the Lord," 1965. Many times I've had people come say, "I know that's right, Brother Branham, but if I did that, they'd kick me out of the church." What of it? If you don't, they're going to kick you out up there. Goodness gracious. I don't know about you. I'd rather be kicked out of my sewing circle or my friend's circle or my school circle or my church circle or my family circle or my friend's circle or my Facebook circle or my Instagram circle or whatever it is than be kicked out up there. Amen. Amen. Spoken Words, Original Seed, 1962. He says, "Oh, people, God bless you. Hear me. I can't believe nothing but God's word. I want it to be my life, everything I am. I want you to do the same. Let your walks, your talks, your moves, everything you do, be in the Word of God. Let the mind of Christ come into you, and that'll pregnate you with the Word. If you don't, if you let the mind of the denomination come in you, you'll be denominational pregnated. If you let the mind of Christ come into you, he can't deny his own Word because he's God. You be pregnated with the Word and believe it. I don't care if they put you out, kick you out, run you out and every door is closed, you'll go just the same. Amen. See, many of us forget what it was like to some of those that have gone on before us. Many of us forget that we can come and we can sit in nice message churches and, well, if we just don't like the way that the song service is or the way the musicians play or the way the pastor ties his tie or the style of preaching that he has or if he plays too many tapes or not enough tapes, that's okay. We'll just find us another message church down the road somewhere. But when Brother Branham came, he wasn't preaching to nice message groups. He was preaching to Pentecostal people that many times got up and walked out on him because they knew what he was trying to say about their denominations. He knew what he was trying to, they knew what he was trying to express. And then we had brothers that to come into this message, and once they began to recognize in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, and they began to recognize that God had sent a prophet in this age. I was listening, I shared it with Brother Hoover the other day. He and I was listening to it driving down the road. A Pentecostal preacher that some of the songs that I sing, we heard him from his records growing up. And he was a Pentecostal preacher that my parents used to follow and heard him on YouTube on a video somebody had uploaded there the other day. And he was preaching about how Malachi, or how Elijah rather, had to come in this last day. And he was proving it by the scriptures, how that Elijah had to come in this last age. And how Jesus stood there and said that, oh my, Elias truly did come, speaking of Malachi 3. And he brought out Malachi 3 and what that was. But that Elias would come, Elijah would come, future tense, and would restore all things before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he's standing there preaching, this has to happen, Elijah has to return, and stand there and failed to recognize the manifestation of it. And I thought, how sad that he got that close, closer than some people walking away from the message of God that didn't believe that Malachi 4 was still to be. He got closer than that, but failed to recognize the manifestation of it. And then other brothers that begin to recognize the awakening of the bride, they begin to come out of that and maybe had, 50, 80, 100 churches open to them all over the world. My Uncle Jeff was one of them. Brother Donnie Reagan, Brother Luke Gibson, many of these brothers that came out of Pentecost. They had lots of doors open to them in the Pentecostal realm. Women preachers, brothers, all kinds of different things. Up and down the East Coast, up and down the West Coast, down in the South, all over the world, doors open to them. And as soon as they begin to teach some of the things that Brother Branham taught, those doors begin to shut. One after the other, after the other. And it would have been easier for them to say, this way is too hard for me. It'd be easier if I could keep preaching to these women preachers that are giving me big offerings. And it'd be easier if I could keep all these doors open to me and just preach the little bit of light that I saw back in Pentecost. It would have been easier. They would have probably been a lot wealthier than they are now and had bigger churches and bigger followings and the phone ringing a lot more than it does. But they chose a harder way. And then many times as message believers, we forget all the sacrifices that those that went on before us did. And we get in our comfortable little message circle. And then if we believe something that's not popular and somebody's going to separate friendship with us or it's going to be a little awkward at the family reunion, we begin to compromise a little bit and say it'd be easier if we just didn't do that. I know there's many of you sitting here that go through those things. Don't feel bad. We go through those things too. Amen. The pastor faces those things too. Amen. Not because of the color of my hair. Not because of my last name. You know, when I was backslid, a lot of people liked me a lot better than they do now. But I'm trying to do my best for the Lord. Amen. In this area, my name was a lot higher spoken of when I was backslid than it is now. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, said, think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. For I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. You sisters, don't elbow your mother-in-law tonight and say, I've got a scripture for this. And a man's foe shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. We get comfortable down in Laodicea. We're message believers and We just want the wheels to be greased just right and easy sailing. And, oh my, we've got the word now and everything's just going to be all right. But it's a life of sacrifice. The Christian life is a life of sacrifice. It's not always having everything the way that we want it, but it's standing for the truth.
Amen.
Brother Bram says in Abraham's Covenant, confirmed 1961, he said, now here's the way to test whether you're really the seed of Abraham or not. When the church says you believe that and I'll kick you out, that don't mean a thing to the seed of Abraham. Not a thing. That just puts him on his road right. That just sets him free. Here he goes.
Amen.
Whether it's a church, whether it's a relative, whether it's a friend, whether it's somebody at your job or somebody at your school, whether it's a social circle, whether it's a doctrinal circle, whatever it is, and God begins to reveal something to you in the Word, and you say, oh, bless God, I've got it. And they say, you believe that, and you're out. The real true seed of Abraham doesn't say, well, I guess that's okay. I guess I'll just discard that and put that one in the shredder. He says, that's okay. I'll just dust off my feet and keep going. That was dragging me down and holding me back anyhow. Now I'm just a little more free to keep walking on the path that God called me to. He said, that just puts him on his road right. That just sets him free. Here goes. You remember when Abraham went on the journey? God told him, leave your family and your relatives and all that. And he took his daddy and he took his nephew and he took all those. Brother Bam said he was a fly in the ointment the whole time. And he said, finally, when he got out of the picture, then everything began to run smooth for Abraham. What was it? It was an individual walk between Abraham and God. But many times we try to bring relatives and we try to drag friends and we try to drag our church groups and our fellowship groups and our school groups and we try to drag all that with us in our relationship with Jesus. And then if it's going to be anything that's offensive to any of them, well, sorry, Lord, I'm going to go with them. I'll get back with you some other time when it's more popular. No, what do? We keep going with Jesus. When somebody gives you an ultimatum, says, bless God, you either see it my way or you don't, you say, well, I'm sorry, I love you, and I don't want to break fellowship with you, but if you're given the ultimatum, maybe you're just one of those things that was holding me back from going on into more freedom in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That just puts him on his road right. That just sets him free. Here he goes. Amen. Are you free tonight?
Amen.
The Bible said, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. It said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty.
Amen.
If you're sitting in an environment and you feel like, oh, I better not speak up and say what I believe, or I better not talk about this, or I better not talk about that, I better not talk about what Brother Bram said over here, or better not talk about this doctrine because it might offend somebody, you realize you're living in a fear and in a bondage of something that's dragging you down because somebody don't like it. But just let go of that sometime and say, look, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to offend you, but this is what the Word says. They may divide with you. They may separate with you. They may walk away from you. But you'll begin to realize, you know what? I feel like I can fly a little higher now than I could. Something was holding me down, keeping me earthbound more than I wanted to be. Now, I know you all want to just run and shout and wave our hands tonight. But sometimes the Word, it trims our feathers up a little bit so we can fly a little higher into the heavenlies. Amen. Jesus didn't just come to make everything happy. Everybody get along, but there would be some of the rulers of the synagogue sitting there thinking, here he is doing all these miracles. But if I go with him, they'll kick me out of the synagogue. And you know what Rabbi so-and-so says? If you aren't a part of his synagogue, then you just can't even be redeemed. And stuck with the rabbi, stuck with the circle, stuck with the doctrinal group or the synagogue, instead of going with the one that could really, truly redeem him and set him free. God help us tonight. Amen. If the musicians would come. You've heard this statement many times. Normally it's made about wars and patriotism and things like that. That freedom is never free. The freedoms that we have in this country. I forget who it was telling me just recently. That when some of the things began to take place and people burning flags and things like that. It was you, Brother Hoover, said that. Brother Hoover's daddy was a veteran. And when they was burning a flag on the city steps there one time and the news was coming out and giving the man grief and everything, Brother Hoover's daddy stood up and he said, they ought to leave that man alone. Brother Hoover said, them burning the flag? And them leave him alone? They ought to leave him alone. He said, I fought to give that man the freedom to burn that flag. He said, now, I don't agree with him, but he said, there's men that gave their life to give him that freedom to be able to do that. You see, freedom's never free. People died and gave their lives so that we could have the freedoms to have this Bible. You know, there's countries that they'd be killed just to have this Bible that we have the privilege to read anytime that we want. But freedom's never free. If that's true in the natural, how much more in the spiritual?
Amen.
That there's those that have gone on before, martyrs and things that gave their lives when the darkness and the everything of the ages was coming in throughout the dark ages, trying every way it could to squeeze out and burn out and feed to the lions and drown and torture out the word of God. But they found out you can't burn a spirit. Amen. You can't stop a spirit. You can't stop the Holy Spirit from moving. You can't stop the move of God. And when they were trying everything they could to squeeze it out, yet there were true saints of God that said, I don't care what you do, I'll stand for Jesus anyhow. Amen. What a privileged people that we are tonight to be able to come and have the word open to us. You realize they were standing in those dark ages and they didn't have the full revealed word, but what they had, they were clinging to it with their very life. And now we have the whole book open to us. How much more should we stand for it?
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Jesus, Lord, may we never look at the praises of men or the popularity of men or religious circles or political moves, whatever it would be. May we never hold that higher than what our desire would be to you, Father, to stay true to your word. We love you, Lord. Lord, I recognize that the age is getting darker and more pressures are coming on us, Lord. But Father, help us. Give us the strength. Give us the wisdom. Open up our eyes, Father, to stand for the word with everything that we have with us, Father. Lord, I realize it may lose us some friends, may lose some family members. Some may lose their jobs. Some may lose their positions. Some may lose their circles of fellowship. Lord, but whatever it takes, if we place that higher than our fellowship with you, Lord, you said we're not even worthy to walk with you. If we place our families or popularity or position higher than we do that walk with you and don't take up our cross and die daily, or we're not even worthy to call ourselves Christians. Help us, Lord. Help us to lay aside every weight, every sin, every distraction that would so easily beset us. Let us run this race with patience. Lord, not trying to be the first one to the top, but Lord, with patience, one step at a time, not moved by every wind of doctrine, but steady, unmovable, unshakable, that the Holy Spirit would set our wings, point us directly to Calvary. Let nothing move us to the left or to the right. May we have singleness of heart to you, Lord. Whatever you would have us to do, whatever you would have us to say, oh, the cost might be great, Lord, but what a cost that you took when you came. They called you Beelzebub. They called you all kinds of dirty names, called you illegitimate, spit in your face, ripped out your beard, pierced your hands and your feet, and there you were, the only one that could redeem them. And they rejected you, Father, for popularity, for a little better paying job, a little better seat in the synagogue, a few more friends, a little bit better position in their city or their circles. Lord Jesus, help us not to make the same mistake and repeat history again, but may we cling to you with everything that's within us, Father. We love you, Jesus. We worship you. We praise you. Help us, Lord, we pray. Give us the strength that we need. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Let's sing this together tonight. Oh, for a long time I've traveled down a long lonely road. My heart was so heavy, and sin I sank low. Then I heard about Jesus,
I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out through His saving power. Are you thankful tonight? This world of sins, free from opinions, denominational traditions, washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Oh, hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. So glad that I found out He could bring me out. That has taken its flight, like the blind man that God gave back his sight. Oh, like a poor wretched beggar who found fortune and fame. I'm so glad.
Sing this together. I'll stand for Jesus. Let the world go by. I want to claim His promise. He said He will abide. Oh, we're gonna walk together, my sweet Lord and I. Oh, I'll stand for Jesus.
just to walk. Oh, is this your desire tonight? Don't leave us alone, Lord. Don't leave me alone. Oh, Lord, don't leave me alone. Yes, Father, don't. Tonight. Oh, I said, Satan, we're gonna pray your kingdom down. You listen, Satan, we're gonna pray your kingdom down. For I heard a voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan, your kingdom. What about it, brothers? Oh, I said, Satan, we're gonna preach your kingdom down. You listen, Satan, the bride will preach your kingdom down. Oh, for we heard a gospel voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, let's remind him tonight, oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, I said, Satan, your kingdom's coming down.
Your wings, little eagle, and fly. Oh, you are born for this valley. Yes, you were born for the sky. Don't let your trial get you down or drive your spirit to the ground. Mount up with me, little eagle, and fly. Oh, just spread your wings, little eagle. Yeah.
said tonight about somebody testifying in church, I didn't know it was going to be my own wife, but she's got a testimony she wanted to share tonight.
Good evening. We have had a little miracle in my family, and I do not want to embarrass them, and I know I will. We have shared it with some close friends and some of our family, but not even all of our family. And at first, he was afraid to testify too much because he thought Satan would give it back to him. And tonight, it just kind of sunk down with me that we're not going to live in fear. Amen. Of that. Hallelujah. He's going to get his migraines back. So my son, Philip, if you have all attended our church from very back at the very beginning, since he was a little bitty boy, he has suffered from migraines. Many of you have seen him run out of church. Many of you have experienced him throwing up at your homes. As a parent, I know different ones, Brother Furman and Sister April, and different ones that you struggle with your children. When they are suffering, you are suffering. And you will do anything in your power, prayer or whatever, and come together and believe. But sometimes that child has to believe. And last year, when I was healed of my migraines that I've had for many years since I was little, Philip said, I wish that would happen to me. And I said, well, maybe you just have to have enough faith and believe for yourself. Well, that faith has sunk down. And for many, many years, my son has taken lots of medicine. The last couple years, we take Zyrtec to prevent these migraines. And if he goes a little more than 24 hours without his Zyrtec, he will go into a full-fledged migraine and throw up. And many of these families that you all know who you are have experienced just the pain that he has gone through. And he is healed. Amen. He is 100% healed. And he still lives in a little bit of fear because he is afraid. But Philip, you do not need to be afraid anymore. And I am not one to get up in front of you all, but it just sunk down that I will not live in fear, and I will not just testify to my close friends, but I will testify to the entire church that we will not live in fear of Satan and him bounding us down. So those different ones, feel free to testify. Amen. Testify what God is doing. Because he is an on-time God, and it has affected our house. Unbelievable to see that just relief come off of him, and to not see your child suffer, just as Christ doesn't want to see us suffer, and to know that he has just came in the right timing. And I know you might be mad at me, Philip, but I wanted him to get up and testify, but I knew that was hard. But I just felt like as his mom, I need to testify for him. And I just wanted you to know as a church that that miracle has been answered. So keep holding faith to your miracles. And little children, have faith and believe. Because it is working. So have faith and believe in your miracle as well.
As some of you know, with my memory, I have a lot of reminders on my phone, and they'll go off every once in a while, remind me to do this, remind me to do that, follow up on non-emergency texts, take out the trash, do this, do that, little reminders. And for, I guess I'd say 2 years now, I've had a reminder on my phone, make sure Philip takes his pills at night, because if he didn't, in about a 24-hour period of going without them, if he got about 36 hours or so in, right into a migraine. We found it seemed like it was allergy related, so if we had him on an allergy pill, it seemed like it helped prevent it in most cases, but still sometimes he'd get them. But we noticed recently we'd got in late at night and he'd been sleepy and just went in and went to bed and didn't take him, and then we'd forget to have him take him in the morning because we normally have him take it at night. So he'd missed 2 or 3 days and he hadn't got a migraine. And Rebecca said, oh, you need to give him the pill. I said, just wait. He hasn't had a migraine yet. Let's just see. And it's been 2 or 3 weeks now that he hasn't been on any medicine. Praise the Lord. Amen. The same God that can heal a headache, can heal diabetes, he can heal cancer, he can heal whatever's wrong with you mentally, physically, emotionally, whatever it is. We serve a God that said, I heal all. I'm the God that healeth all thy diseases. Amen. Brother Furman, I think somebody ought to testify. Why don't you sing us about it tonight?
You help me sing this tonight before we go.
Oh, somebody ought to testify.
Positive confession. Amen. God bless you. Let's sing this before we go.
Oh, some glad morning when this life is o'er. Oh, I'll fly away. Oh, I'll not die. Hallelujah, by and by. Oh, I'll fly away. Oh, some glad I'll fly away. Oh, joy shall never end. I'll fly away, and I'll fly away. Oh, glory, I'll fly away, and I'll not die. Hallelujah, bye-bye.
God bless you, saints. You can be dismissed. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. Oh,